From Dallas, Texas, it's Solo Levitt Live. Featuring tonight, a return visit by Louis Hamada, an Arab from Lebanon with his views on the Middle East.
Yes, Dr. Louis Hamada is back with us tonight. He's so interesting. Not just because he's an Arab, but because he has a lot of knowledge and he's quite outspoken and very, very learned in the Bible. He is an Arab who sees in the Bible that God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. He has said that in Lebanon at risk of his life, and maybe we'll get into that tonight. Says a lot of interesting things. Quite a guy to talk to. Tonight we're going to be talking about prophecy. You'll recall a few weeks ago we brought a map on the show and demonstrated the progress of the Russian invasion of Israel. The fact that Russia, by going through Afghanistan and then the war with Iran and Iraq and so on, it's all seemed to foment this prophecy by Ezekiel. Now, Lewis is expert on Bible prophecy, and we're going to bring the same map back on the show with the same arrows on it that I drew a few weeks ago. If you missed that show, we're going to sort of be reviewing it, and we'll get Lewis's views and how he puts it. I think we're going to agree because we've been reading the same book about prophecy in the end times, which of course is the Bible. Speaking of the end times, our book offer tonight is on the Second Coming. We haven't offered this book for a while on the show. It was one of the really popular books that I've written, and the Second Coming makes clear the distinction between the rapture and the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom. And it takes up all the scriptures on each of those, and it tells us how to be ready for what Paul calls the day of the Lord. It's important prophecy, to say the least. You can get it at the post office box, 12268, Dallas, Texas, 75225. Ask for the Second Coming. And when you send for a book, we'd appreciate your contribution. We've been able to keep new shows coming every week, as you see, through the fall and winter, and it's our goal to keep the new shows coming all year just as they do on the secular networks. I think our show is much better than what they offer you. And funds permitting, we're going to keep on giving you new shows and new lessons because I think that's what we need to do. If you'll help us with that, we would really appreciate it. When we send you a book, we'd like you to remember the favor. And I leave that to you and to the way the Lord leads you. Tonight we're going to talk about Israel and prophecy in a very serious way with a man who has an extended perspective, you might say, born in Beirut, Lebanon, of which you've heard so much, and he was raised as a Muslim. He came to Christ. He then took a master's degree in theology from Dallas Seminary, a most educated Bible scholar. And I should mention in passing, he has a doctor's degree in music, so that his education is very broad, his experience very broad. He's been a lot of places in the world. He said at the end of last week's show, an interesting and to some probably explosive statement about President Carter, that he didn't think that he was a Christian, that his works didn't show it, and so on. And I said, well, Lewis, when we come back on next week, we'll take that up and we'll ask you about it. So he's ready with that. We have a new president now and some interesting politics to talk about, too. And so while we have so erudite a guest as Dr. Louis Hamada, we'll try and get into all of those subjects for you tonight. Your statement about President Carter was right on the end of the show last week. And, of course, this isn't the kind of show where we tell our guests what to say, and we don't know what you think before you come on. Neither do we necessarily agree or disagree. But I found it interesting. You said President Carter wasn't a Christian as far as you could tell. Why?
Well, Brother Zola, I have no pleasure in going about judging people, especially the President of the United States. But since I am serving the Lord Jesus, I like to think of myself as an absolutist. And that means that I like to judge the world around me on what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the Bible gives us so much to go about, and even the Bible says to test the spirits. And after 4 years, President Carter did not speak out for the Lord. In fact, his fruits in the office was opposite to what the Bible teaches. For instance, his support of the ERA, homosexual movement, abortion, just to name a few. I mean, Christians should not be blinded or by emotions judge people, but by what the Bible says. Upon these truths, this is my obligation to speak boldly that President Carter did not act as a Christian.
Well, can a Christian, or you say he didn't act as a Christian, can a Christian be wrong and still be a Christian?
Yes, but then God has to make that final decision.
All right.
But we're finite people, but God says to speak out against liberal thinking, against you might say, you know, compromise.
I'd rather you said worldly thinking than liberal.
Okay, worldly. What's liberal? It means they compromise.
Compromise. Oh, yeah. I see. In that sense.
I'm not saying we should not be liberal or broad-minded.
Yes.
But when it comes to the commandments of the Lord Jesus, we should obey.
Yes.
He said, if any man that obeyeth not my saying, he shall die in his sins.
Okay, I can't resist asking you then about President Reagan, who, as we sit here tonight, is the president-elect, and what your view is then. 4 years ago, President Carter was almost a new Messiah. What do you think?
True. Well, I have to look back to the history and see what President-elect Reagan has done before. Let's say in the last 50 years, what did he do for the Lord Jesus? How many souls has he won? Did he speak out against? Did he? Is he planning to turn this country back to worship the Lord Jesus? This is the issue. This is how God is going to judge President Reagan. He put him in office. Maybe this will be the last chance for America. I mean, we cannot be blinded to these facts.
No.
President Reagan has a golden opportunity to turn this country back to God and take a stand for God, because there are many Christians are behind him, you know, what, 50 million? I don't know. And he can turn the tide. But then if he's going to start compromising like Carter did, goodbye America. Farewell, like I said in my last article I wrote, Farewell America.
Hmm. And you think the times are pretty serious.
Very, very serious, and we shall see why after a while when we start discussing prophecy.
I want to come to that. You were born in Lebanon, which is shares a border with Israel. You know about the Middle East. You've been to these countries. You've lived a time in Egypt, I know. You had an interesting theory when we talked before the show about Israel's growth. I was fascinated with it. You took the growth of the Jewish man from his boyhood to maturity, and you compared it with the number of years since Israel's restoration in 1948, and it all seemed to work. I was very fascinated. So could you run through those stages of growth for us?
Yes, very gladly, and I'm going to try to be very brief.
Okay.
After I take a sip of coffee.
Please, enjoy yourself. We have real coffee in our coffee cups. Mm. We don't fake it. Pretty good, isn't it?
The Texas coffee tastes better than the Brazilian coffee. Well, here we go again.
A controversy all the time, Lewis.
I don't have to now explain that. I hope I don't. I love South America. Don't worry. So, according to the stages of growth of a Jewish male youngster, I worked out a theory that I heard long time ago from a friend of mine, but I'm going to go into a more detailed, maybe you can help me out on the calculations of the years and days. God commanded Abraham in Genesis 17 that he must circumcise a male infant when he is 8 days old. Mm-hmm. Now, according to statistic, or I mean history, Israel was born on May 14, 1948.
That was the Declaration of Independence.
Declaration of Independence. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they didn't become a nation until they were circumcised 8 days after. So they became a nation on May 22nd.
Yeah. There was a war of independence, brief.
Brief war, exactly.
8 days of hard fighting. Mm-hmm. And then, in your theory, they're circumcised, the 8 days are over, and now they go on. And you're quite right on those dates.
Okay, so you remember that. And then the second stage of growth is when the circumcised boy becomes accountable to God. And according to the bar mitzvah, whatever.
Yeah, at the end of the 12th year.
At the end of the 12th year, he becomes accountable to God. And Israel became accountable when they discovered Adolf Eichmann in South America. He was their number one enemy, as I recall. And all of a sudden, God led them to him. They smuggled him to Israel, judged him, and we know what happened to him. They killed him. And then as a result of the Eichmann affair, the UN took notice of Israel, and they were admitted to the UN as a international nation.
And the date of that is 1960. So you have the 12 years. Really, the bar mitzvah is at the 13th birthday, 12 years complete. Mm-hmm. But the Israeli, the calendar prophetic years are a little shorter than the years that we use, as we know from Revelation 11. Mm-hmm. So a little under 13 years later, truly, they drew world attention. For one thing, with the Eichmann trial.
And the Lord Jesus came to fulfill prophecy, as he said in Matthew 5:17. And we can look at his life also to see how he is a fulfillment of this, what we're talking about, the fig tree. So the Lord Jesus was circumcised when he was 8 days old.
Yes.
Then we see him no place in the Bible until he reappeared when he became accountable to God. At the age of 12.
In the book of Luke, we have a story of Jesus at the temple when he was 12. But we don't hear of him between the birth and 12. We don't really know.
We don't hear of him between these five stages. And then the third stage is when Israel becomes men of war. And God commanded Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 3, to gather all the males in Israel to fight or prepare for war against their enemies when they reach the age of 20.
Interesting. We register for the draft at 18. The biblical admonition is 20.
And then you add 20 to 48. And according to your calculation, we discussed
that. It'd be a little less, 19 plus, because of the shorter Hebrew years.
Would
fall in 1967.
Praise the Lord, see? So June 1967, whatever.
Give or take, that would be the Six-Day War, and certainly there Israel came of age militarily.
So this is a fulfillment of what God commanded Moses. And Israel became the man of war. Mm-hmm. And they won in 6 days, but number six is, of course, man's number, and in the Great Tribulation, the number becomes seven, because God will be taken over completely. He'll begin to pour his wrath.
That is the day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord.
7 years of tribulation. Israel had 6 days of war. This was a man-made endeavor.
Beautiful. So Sunday is not the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week, right?
Yes.
See, the Lord's Day is, or the day of the Lord, is the Great Tribulation. So now, where was the Lord Jesus when he was 20?
We don't know.
We don't know. Why? Because he didn't come as a God of war, like in the Old Testament.
Yes.
According to Luke 19, verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he, next time he's coming as the God of war or God of wrath. So now he hid himself at the age of 20. We don't see him until the following stage.
There is no appearance at 20 because he had no part to play as a fighter, as a soldier.
Exactly. No. So now, in short, the fourth stage of growth is when the man of war becomes a religious man. He starts to seek peace with his neighbors. And God commanded Moses in the book of Numbers also, chapter 4, verse 3, and other verses, of course, that he must not allow the high priest to serve the Lord or go into the Holy of Holies until he is 30 years old and upward.
Another interesting difference with our government, which says you can't be president until you're 35, the biblical admonition would be to accept the high priest at 30 and upwards.
This is to show you that America is not built upon the Bible. If it were, like we hear, then America will be protected and will be blessed by God, but America is not obeying, is not going by the Bible like many people think.
No, not so perfectly.
So perfect.
Well, 30 years after 1948, and then a little less because of the difference in years, will take us to 1977. And I know what you're going to say.
In fact, Brother Zola, I preached a sermon before the signing of the treaty between Israel and Egypt, the king of the south. They were preparing for war, you know, a few months ago, we remember. And nobody would have dreamt that Egypt will sign a treaty with Israel or vice versa. But I preached that in Dallas, Texas, while studying for my master a few years ago, 76, at the Dallas Theological Seminary.
And you predicted peace?
Yes.
On the basis of
it's on tape.
Really?
Yeah, on tape, and I've written on it. So, but I was going according to the Bible, and I was not sure. But from past experience, I stick my neck out on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God has never failed yet.
Yeah.
So now, a few months later, the signing of the treaty was consummated in Washington. And I like to say something here. When the Antichrist is revealed, according to Daniel 9:27, he's not going to sign a new treaty with Israel. He's going to confirm. So this is something interesting. Daniel tells us this man will confirm a covenant for 1 week, remember? So what is confirm? I looked it up. For instance, when you before you invited me to your show, you wrote me one time, you said, I want you to come, but this was not confirmation.
Yeah.
Later on, we had to confirm it. So now, the signing of the treaty has already been done. The Antichrist is going to make firm this treaty. It means confirm it or reaffirm it.
For the 7 years.
For the 7 years. So this is exciting. The treaty has already been signed.
Yeah.
And the Antichrist is going to confirm it or validate this.
And the treaty was signed when in 1977 when President Sadat came to Israel, the most remarkable year in Israeli-Egyptian relations in 4,000 years because Pharaoh had never before come to Jerusalem.
It's fantastic.
In a peace mission. Okay, you predicted that because of your knowledge of prophecy. That satisfies your 30-year theory of and 30 years is interesting because it's the biblical number of the reign of a king. Mm-hmm. Joseph was 30 when he became vice pharaoh.
How about the Lord
Egypt.
Jesus?
Jesus was 30 when he began to minister.
Amen.
David was 30 when he ascended the throne. And so Israel became really then more like a king or administrator among nations because they signed a significant peace treaty. But your theory goes on. There are five stages.
So what now? Remember, the clock of Daniel stopped when the Lord was rejected. So now we're not going to look for 3.5 years like many people think because the Lord Jesus served here. The clock has stopped and the clock will begin ticking again 7 more years the moment the Antichrist is revealed and reconfirm or reaffirm that treaty with Israel. Then the clock begins to tick 7 years. So now we are waiting for the Lord to come back to call his bride. This is the second thing on God's calendar. Now finally, the fifth stage of growth, remember in Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus says, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled.
Yes, and many people add 40 years to 1948 and have a second coming in 1988.
I don't think so. God is speaking in different terms here. In the Old Testament, yeah, a generation was 40 years, 50, or 100, depending. But here, the context, if we go to the Greek language, we see generation is genos, J-E-N-U-S, which means race, family. And the whole context here of this passage, God is speaking about the Jewish race. And God is saying here that no one can annihilate the Jews, because the Jews are God's prophetic time clock. And he's going to accomplish his prophecies or fulfill his prophecies through Israel. So this is what's so exciting about prophecy.
Finally, then, the statement, Matthew 24:34, simply says Israel will not have passed away before all these things be fulfilled.
That's right.
And you, of course, we find it interesting in Arab, speaking in a sense for the Jewish people.
No, I'm not speaking for the Jewish people. Let me make this clear. I'm speaking for God. I'm not taking sides now. I told you last week, remember, Brother Zola? Now, don't trick me, okay?
No, I won't.
I know.
Trick you.
You don't trick me. I know you don't. I love you, and you're a wonderful man. But I'm not taking sides now, neither with the Arabs, nor with the Jews, neither with the blacks, nor with the whites. I am with God. Whatever God says, I'm going to say it.
But it's unique, I'm pointing out,
yes,
that an Arab will read the scriptures, take them absolutely seriously, apply them just as written.
Oh, yes.
Lewis, we just have a couple minutes, and I meant to get into this map, and let me explain what these arrows are all about to begin with. On a past show, we designed the Russian expansion. This is the expansion into Eastern Europe, Gomer, in Ezekiel's terminology.
Yes.
This expansion, of course, was to Korea. This expansion all the way down to Vietnam, where we fought the Russians. This expansion into China, where the Russian ideology, at least, has taken hold. And this was the one we were interested in, into the Middle East. I drew this one. You know what this is? The Russian invasion of America. Now, I don't think that'll happen. That would go over the North Pole.
I don't think it will either.
I don't think they're going to get to that part of their plan. But since it would seem to be part of the Russian plan, I put it in. But this is the one that's happening now, and this rectangle is the Middle East. You were going to say something about Persia.
Well, let me say something. Russia will never invade America because it is not in the Bible. But their spirit has already invaded America. The spirit of communism, or the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist has already invaded America. But now, God says in Ezekiel 38 that when the time comes, and we are now seeing it, he's going to put a hook in their jaw and drive them into the Middle East to take a spoil.
Yes.
And now he has done that already, and they're coming down, and they have invaded Afghanistan. Now, Afghanistan, according to the ancient map of Persia, includes Afghanistan, Iran, and Pakistan.
Yeah, Afghanistan's here in blue.
Yeah.
This is Pakistan in pink.
Uh-huh.
Next is Iran in green. I think we can get a good shot of that.
Yeah.
But they are already this far.
True.
And what'll happen now?
So now, God has given them one-way ticket. Mm-hmm. And I like to stop here for a moment, if I can have 1 minute to explain. Remember when America sent a rescue mission to rescue the hostages?
Yes.
And then it was almost perfectly planned. Then the weather was so ideal. Mm-hmm. And when they flew from Egypt to a designated desert area in Iran, the weather was also almost perfect. After 5 minutes before they take off, God sent them a sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And he destroyed the planes, and few people died, eight or whatever. Why did he do that? Because America is going against God's prophetic plan.
What does God want to accomplish with these hostages?
Well, God is using, the best thing can ever happen to the hostages if they will meet the Lord Jesus personally. Because really, This is what the best thing. But God is using them for a purpose, and they will never be released until God says so, not the American government.
Lewis, we have only 1 minute.
Okay.
Do you see the war of Iraq and Iran that's going on as we speak as part of this expansion of Russia into the Middle East?
Definitely. Who's behind it? Russia. Somebody asked me the other day, who you think is going to benefit from this war or win it, Iraq or Iran? I said, no, neither, Russia.
Russia.
Because Russia is behind it all, and
it'll
God.
Clear the territory for their...
Sure,
for their
Russia want to weaken all these nations. It already weakened Egypt, then Lebanon,
yeah.
Syria, and now it's working on Iraq and Iran. Once they are very weak, the Russians will come. All they have to do is just walk in, you know.
And the real target is Israel.
Oh, yes. This is the plum.
Mm-hmm.
This is where everything will end, and God will take over.
A quick question. When do the Christians get out? We're in our last minute.
Well, no one knows. Today, tomorrow, or 1,000 years from now. But I'm looking for him 10 minutes from now.
That's such a good answer. I'm going to let it stand on that, all
okay.
right? Lewis is looking for the rapture. Our book is about that and called The Second Coming, but really covering the rapture and the second coming. The position I take is that they are different things. We'll have the rapture first, and then we'll have the 7-year tribulation, and then the second coming of our Lord. This book makes clear the difference between them. Send for it at the post office box, 12268, Dallas, Texas, 75225. Lewis Hamada, our guest, is available to you through the mail. Just drop us a line and we'll be in touch with him. Quite a brilliant man, very, very interesting. And Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
For up-to-date prophetic analysis of the news in the Middle East, be sure to write for Zola's newsletter, The Levitt Letter, a scriptural review of the end times.